Welcome, this is Library Lines, the voice of your Sussex County Library. I'm your host, Regina Bone, along with my co-host,
Jerry Galante.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well.
It's weird to look at you while we're recording because it feels like I'm usually looking down at notes and stuff and just talking, but locking eyes with you is very strange. So you may hear in the background is our special guest today, the head of adult services, Louisa Ban.
Hello.
Hello. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll get into the interview with Louisa.
Let's lock eyes.
So, Louisa Ban, you're the head of adult services up at Maine Library.
Correct.
All right. How long have you been there?
That's a really good question. I think I started in 2016.
Oh,
really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you'd been there longer.
It feels that way,
yeah,
but no. I believe 2016 was my start. I probably should have paid more attention to that.
You didn't bring your CV with you?
I did not.
Oh, man. All right.
So why library work?
Well, here's what happened. I had a very different career.
Mm-hmm.
I was the manager of research at Tiffany & Company Archives. So it was
okay.
A corporate position in a corporate archive. And in 2009, a bunch of us were let go. And I spent...
You can say embezzlement. It's okay. You can say that.
Actually, there was a VP that...
Oh.
Anyway, but we won't get into that. But I had to try and recreate myself. So first I got a year and a half of paid, you know. And then I had to figure out what I was going to do next. And my job at Tiffany did not translate to Cartier or to Winston or any other of the luxury jewelers that I had been interviewing with. So I had to sit long and hard and figure out what did I love about that job besides jewelry.
Right.
And the answer was I liked helping people research.
Mm.
So I was like, I'll just get a job in a library. And then I spoke to a couple of librarians and like, not so fast, sister.
Right, right.
You need another master's. I'm like, no, I have a master's and I have 14 years of experience. And
right.
They were like, librarians don't care about that. You need an MLS. And I was like, what? So there
right.
I was in my 50s recreating myself and got another master's.
Wow.
Now that I didn't know.
Good for you. That must have been tough, right?
Oh, I was the old lady on the block,
yeah.
And all my classmates, you know, were taking notes on their little phones, and I came into the classroom with a giant laptop that was dying. It had a fan thing under it because it had to be cooled off, because and it would fall off the desk, and it was quite a scene. It was quite a scene, but I realized I was the same age as a lot of my professors,
mm-hmm.
and I used that to my advantage. I was like, hey, about that B? And they were like, you want an A, Louisa? I'm like, yes, I do. So that's how it went.
Nice.
Breeze through Rutgers, just like that.
Awesome.
Do you miss Tiffany?
I miss the perks, I will give you that. I don't miss the corporate structure.
Uh-huh.
I really went into culture shock at my first library job because I was like, people are kind to each other? What's this about? No backstabbing?
Right.
This is bizarre.
Right.
But I do miss the limos. I miss the parties.
You don't get any of that? What the?
No.
Oh, well, okay. I don't either.
Sussex County has to step up its game. That's all I got to say.
And what kind of discount did you get?
Oh, we had the employee store right next to the archives.
There was an employee store.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really funny. Like, that doesn't seem normal to me.
It was the slightest imperfection that couldn't pass Q&A.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it went into the employee store,
right.
And my family was very
wow.
used to getting gifts, holding things upside down, going, where's the damage? Show me where it's
right,
marked.
Right.
But
wow,
yeah,
that
created a bad habit, and you lost a lot of your paycheck. So, you know, good and bad.
So how did you get to Sussex County?
How did I get here? So my first job, I thought archive to archive made the most sense.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I took a job in Morristown at their local history and genealogy center. But I quickly found out that working in a local history archives and researching, let's say, the KKK in Morris County was a very different kind of research than Meriwether Post's diamond brooch that she wore at the World's Fair.
Right,
so,
sure.
I decided that archives was really not my thing in libraries. It was not a passion like archives was in the jewelry world. So then I was anxious to get a full-time job. I got a job in Elizabeth. I spent, I think, 2.5 years there in an urban library. And then I said, my car was totaled twice in that job. And I was like, I have to get out of a city. I don't want to do this commute anymore. And luckily enough, Stan and Ellen offered me a position in Sussex, and that's how it started.
Cool.
Did you ever picture yourself as a librarian in a public library?
Never. Never. And I kind of struggle sometimes with fighting the stereotype that a lot of people have of librarians, because that is totally not me. And I'm very loud and have big ideas, and that doesn't always work in a public library. But, you know, patrons are used to shushing me. So.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I'm pretty loud, too. So you said, you know, you arrived at Sussex County Library. We're assuming there was some orientation period. But, like, what was your vision for the department once you sort of took over?
There was a lot of programming happening for children, and there was minimal happening for adults. So they said, that's one thing we want you to focus on, which is really my jam. That's what I love. I love it a lot more than purchasing books and reading books. I like bringing things to people that are going to make them happy and excited. So that was kind of where it all started.
Okay. It is nice to have the adult programs, because I know that in a lot, like just looking around for program ideas from other libraries, which is a suggestion that you gave me, you can see how little other libraries do for their adult patrons.
Yeah.
And yeah, we do a lot of programming.
They're putting up like YouTube links, like, here you go, watch this.
Right.
So
yeah, we do, well, you do a lot for the adult patrons.
We are doing more and more and more. And I will just put it out there that it's not me. It's really,
well, it's
my
staff.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have two librarians, Erica Morris and Sarah Mango. And we have Julie Knapp, who started with us from a grant from the state with Career Connections. And then when that grant ended after 2 years, she joined our team. And between the social media and the newsletter and a bunch of stuff that we've introduced, they are killing it. So very proud of my team.
So how do you come up with program ideas?
We do a lot of, we sit around, like right now we're trying to come up with ideas for summer reading. So the theme is Tales and Tales.
Right.
And so we're trying to figure out what kind of thing with animals, if we do the Tales, T-A-I-L-S, would work for adults. And it's minimal. So we kind of don't focus so much on the theme, but just what we want to do and what we want to bring in. Mm-hmm. So we just sit around and brainstorm, you know, it would be good. Let's see if we could do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I always find that's the more fun part of it. The less fun part of it is the contacting the
person. Making the phone calls.
Yeah.
Making the phone calls painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm an idea guy. You know, you guys can handle the grunt work part of that. I'll come up with the ideas and I'll step away after that point. So, So you mentioned popular programs. What do you find is the most popular with the adults?
You know, interestingly enough, I didn't think this would be the most popular, but our genealogy and local history programs are killing it. They are getting big, big crowds. And for Sussex County, a big crowd is anything over 25.
Right.
And another one are the art talks we've introduced in the past year with Janet Mandel. Those, we're getting 65 people registering for those.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, typically not everybody shows who registers for programs. Mm-hmm. It's a frustrating part of it, because if we have a very limited space options, you know, people take the space and then don't show up. So that's frustrating, but it's just the way it is. Let's see, the art history ones.
It sounds like some of them are a series of programs. Are they still going on?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have a mindful eating one we've done. That's been very popular. Our meditation ones, too. I was like, how's that going to work on Zoom?
Yeah.
And it works on Zoom. So a lot of things that I was like, we'll try it. I don't really think it's going to work, have worked. From yoga to, you know, our local history stuff.
And the shift to Zoom has been easier, tougher? What would you consider it?
I think it has opened up the doors for so many more presenters who would not have come to Sussex County.
Right.
And because it's online, it's opened the doors for a lot of people. And, you know, a frustrating part is our base client is a senior. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the technology or, you know, the Wi-Fi in their house. So that's been a bit of a problem because we know they would love to be there and yet they're not there. Right. So we do have our Zoom followers now that show up to every program. So, yeah, it's building. I would like to keep Zoom after the pandemic, though, and see if we could still do some.
Yeah, I think it's a wise decision, especially a certain percentage, at least, to keep online.
Yeah.
Are you getting presenters outside of the state presenting?
Not so much.
Not so much, but further
mostly
away.
Mostly Jersey. Yeah. Okay. Just, you know, people who wouldn't have wanted to take the ride out.
Mm-hmm. Are there any upcoming programs you'd like to highlight?
We do have a bunch of authors that are coming. We have Mally Becker, mm-hmm. who just published a book. They're all on our events calendar. Yeah, usually we have a couple every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, you also handle the reference for right. the county. So during COVID, how has that changed in terms of getting information out to the public, in terms of fielding questions? What's sort of been the change there?
We decided to take on the responsibility for all six buildings. So we answer all the questions that come into the Contact Us form and suggestions for a book. And if it's suggestions for a book, we typically, you know, do our usual thing. We're probably going to order it if somebody has asked for it, as long as it's gotten some decent reviews.
Right.
We pretty much have come up with boilerplates because we answer the same question over and over and over and over. You know, people don't know how to renew a card if they don't want to come in the building. So mm-hmm. we just have a bunch of boilerplates that answer those questions. So it's been pretty smooth. You know, occasionally we bump into a problem where we send it to the branch managers, you guys, and say, this one's on you. This right, person's right. having a
love
struggle.
I love getting them. Thank you.
You're welcome. But I would say 98% of them we handle.
Well, I think you sent me one where it said the email bounced back, so you could try. I was like, what am I going to try that's any different from what you did? But hey, it went through, actually, so it might have worked.
Yeah,
I just figured
maybe you knew your patron or you could
call them.
What have you missed most during the COVID shutdown?
I really, just like this, hanging with my peers, you know? Yeah. I just think,
I thought you were going to say peeps for a second. I was like, that's some cred right there. But yeah, okay.
I do miss the social side of it. I am a very social person. And, you know, the lockdown was one thing where, you know, I think we all felt we were going a little bit crazy in our own homes. So coming out of our own homes. Mm-hmm. And some people really, really struggled with working from home. Mm-hmm. I don't happen to be one of them. I could do that every day if I was given the opportunity. But I do love the social part of the job. And, right. you know, the patrons coming in and saying, oh, my God, I haven't seen you in a year. And
all that
has been just that part, you know, of seeing people.
I miss the patrons the most.
It is always nice, like you said, to see somebody you haven't seen in a really long time and they come there. Oh, I can't wait. I can't believe it. You know, I come back in. It's a nice feeling to know that we are still looked for. Right. You know what I mean? That it's not like we've been forgotten during this whole time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few of our seniors we haven't seen and we're all mm-hmm. very distraught about it. Yeah. We don't know if we should reach out, but so far we have not.
Yeah. One of our patrons that we hadn't seen in a long time showed up like a couple weeks ago. And we said, oh my gosh, like, how are you doing? He said, yeah, we're good. You know, he usually comes in with his wife. And we had said, you know, we were a little worried because we hadn't seen you. And he goes, no, we just don't want to leave the house because, you know, probably a good idea not to at this point. So we said, right. yeah, that's fine, you know.
Exactly.
You can wait as long as you want, as long as we know you're good. So,
yeah,
it's a nice community feel once things are sort of, I don't know, approaching normal.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Have you noticed more people coming into the library?
Oh, big
lately?
Time. Yeah. Big time. I mean, more people. Is mm-hmm. what, 17?
Right.
I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, we're still at 35% capacity for anyone who's listening in the future.
Yeah. So we have noticed that there are certain hours where, you know, there is a big rush to get in, mm-hmm. and then it peters out various times during the day. But people are still very surprised. We're open at night. We're open Saturdays. Mm-hmm. It's like news to everybody, mm-hmm. even though it's been a while. So I think word of mouth is getting out there.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, ebooks has been a big thing. How have you seen the change in terms of that aspect of librarianship?
January pretty much killed us because all the seniors were given gifts from their kids with a new iPad or tablet and didn't know how to use it. Right. So we did book a lot of one-on-ones with people. Come on in. We'll show you how to get started. So that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, January, February was a little tricky with that. But, no, we just love it. So if they're complaining the wait list is too long or on a book or da-da, we just tell them, well, you know, it's also available here. And, you know, I do think it's a generational thing. I don't think so many seniors really want to be reading on a tablet. They do prefer holding a book. But it's our younger patrons who are thrilled with all the ebook content we have. It's really, really good. Robust.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The numbers are way up.
And having Hoopla, too, helps a lot.
Yes.
Because we had somebody in recently who said, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't wait for this book to come in. Right. So, well, you should check it on Hoopla, because if it's on there, doesn't matter who has it.
Right. Yeah, and Access 360 is another one. So when people write to us and, you know, that's their conversation, we give them every opportunity where the book is if they don't want to wait for the print.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, you know, tablet issues, we had somebody who came in with a Kindle Paperwhite the other day. Yeah, I know. I told them, you know, well, you can download it to your computer first and then transfer it over. You know, but it's sort of like a lot more.
These are the kind of issues that, we deal with on the daily.
Yeah. The library has sort of taken up the social media mantle lately in the past, like, I don't know, year or two, and really increased the presence. So, like, you want to talk a little bit about that, where, you know, what we're on in terms of the platforms?
I had all the stats printed up and left them on my desk, but we have...
we don't need stats.
Yeah.
We have gone up, I think, 300% or... something, 100%, 200%, something in...
It's 100. It's in the hundreds.
It's, yeah. I'm not good with numbers, have you noticed?
That's okay.
But yeah, our Facebook, our Instagram, and our Twitter are all getting a lot more. And I think it's really about the interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, just posting it on there is not... When I started here, I think we were on Tumblr. Like, what?
Yeah, wow.
And since then, it's really taken off. We have a bunch of stuff for adults only. We do a lot of fun stuff on our Twitter and our Instagram about, you know, library memes and things that make people laugh. And I think we get a lot of hits with that. And our Facebook is pushing our programs that they hadn't, they're either not signed up to our newsletter. So they go to our Facebook to see what's coming up. But yeah, a lot of good stuff on there.
I like the library card will thing that you guys do.
Oh, yeah. That was with September's Library Card Month. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Library Card Sign Up Month or something?
Yes. Yeah. So we tried to do something fun every September and make a contest out of it. And we decided to take a picture of Will and blow it up. And right before COVID was the September where we could move library card Will all around the county. We kept hiding him in different places and people had to find him. So he was in the post office. He was in the Chamber of Commerce. Like, we moved him all around, which was a really fun contest. And then when COVID hit, that September, we put library card Will in places online. So we were putting him in Machu Picchu and all.
Right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
We were putting him all over the place.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was fun.
Well, you mentioned the newsletter. So talk a little bit about that.
So I think our newsletter hits 25,000 people, and we do pay attention to the clicks. Mm. So we notice what gets attention, what doesn't get attention, and that's how we keep improving on it.
Sure.
Well, first of all, we took it on 2 years ago away from administration, and our department puts it out. I think we were doing once a week. Then COVID hit, and our agreement for teleworking was we'll do a newsletter every single day.
Wow.
And we will push a different product in our digital platforms. So that was really, really good because it forced us as the librarians to look at what we have. So we were finding all kinds of stuff that we didn't know. It was like, hey, did you know there's a driver's test that you can find in Learning Express? Hey, did you know? So that was a good learning experience for us. Then as we opened up to the libraries, we pulled back to twice a week. And once a week, we're doing programs, and the other, we're doing what's in the news, like what you need to know about for the county.
Very good.
The grab and go, how do you think that's been going so far?
I think it is great. I see people loving it. They're calling the library. They're putting their stuff on hold. There's a little snag with, you know, sitting in the parking lot, putting it on hold, and then rushing into the building thinking it's ready for them. But right, we do have six buildings, and it is a bit more time-consuming and complicated than our patrons realize. But they don't care about that. They are just happy that the bag is outside waiting for them with their name on it. I think it's been a really successful transition for us.
Yeah, and when that was our only option, it sort of allowed us to stay in contact with the patrons. And now it's just sort of an added service that people really look forward to. Yeah. Like you said, if people still aren't comfortable coming into the buildings, it's a nice option.
Right. I went to a library conference a few years back, and they had a drive-through window at this library. And I was like, how do they pull this off? This is a great idea. So this is sort of our drive-through window.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I remember in the beginning we discussed doing it through a window, at least at my branch, because we have a window that's like right by the front door. And before we could really open the doors to the public, we said, well, maybe we could just service it through the window. That obviously didn't wind up happening. It's not crazy. Maybe once we get into full opening again as an option instead of having them in the lobby. Roundtable discussion. Regina Bone, do you think it's here to stay?
Well, McLaughlin like Group, anybody is. Like Louisa said, I think the people are going to be very used to it after all the restrictions are lifted, and it's going to be hard to take away from them. It's a nice little service, and I think it's here to stay. And I think we've trained our patrons very well. Mm-hmm. They're very well trained. Maybe not the ones that are sitting in the parking lot putting in their requests. Not yet, and we give them a little bit more time. But it's been very successful.
Yeah,
I think it's been a fairly easy rollout, too. I think I expected more hiccups with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the software we've been using is more often than not actually working. Like you said, I think people are sort of conditioned now to have it be a service. And to remove that, it would be awfully bad press. So, yeah, I think it's good.
Me too.
So, is there anything you wanted to bring up, too? Because we've been peppering you with questions. I figure...
So, Regina, how did you get into the library? Do we get to do this to you guys when this is all?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually thinking there should be an episode where I interview you and you interview me.
I think there will be.
Yeah, okay. Yes. You want to volunteer for the interview?
I want to help with that. Okay. I have questions for both of you.
Sure, absolutely.
Let's see. I did want to talk about one of the things on social media is our Stay Home and Play, which we have on Facebook. We also have it on the website. And I think it's overlooked, and it bugs me because it is such a robust and fabulous little site where we have all curated. The beginning of the lockdown, it was just stuff you can do from home. So it was exercise, it was this, it was that, listen to poetry reading, National Geographic, go and listen to the sounds of, you know, crocodiles. It was all kinds of stuff. But now we've been adding a lot of our presenters who we have been recording, who have given us permission to record on Zoom. Those are going up there. So if you couldn't attend the program, it's there. And there's just so many good things on there. And then I wanted to talk about our contests that we've been doing with summer reading and winter reading.
Sure.
When I was in other libraries, these did not exist for adults. And I assumed that was going to be the same thing here at Sussex County. I was like, wait a minute. We have to count books for adults? This sounds...
Well, it didn't exist shortly before you arrived. I mean, it was, even for the kids, it was very low-key.
Very low-key, and it was like count tickets. And the first time I did it, I thought I lost my mind because all the branches... packed up their tickets and sent them to us to count.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, poor Erica and I, we lost our minds doing that to figure out how many people
did it. I
demand
a recount.
But, the thing that's so nice about that we switched to the digital platform, it called?
Read Squared.
Was that it does it for you. So that made me really happy, and it could also pick a random winner. So, you know, our numbers are just going crazy. Winter reading this past winter, we had 105 adults registered, which is nothing to snuff about during a pandemic.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And there were 2,416 hours of reading completed by the adults. And then last year, summer reading online, we had 322 adults registered with 351,000 minutes read, which
and that was the summer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was 5,900 yeah. hours of reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice that it counts it for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to count that much.
And the thing we also introduced since I've been here is if there is a program that falls into winter reading or summer reading, you get points for attending a program. And that was driving up our program attendance too.
Yep.
So whether they wanted to show up or not, they were showing up because they were getting extra minutes and a secret code they can put in to Read Squared. And that made it more interactive. I think people just like interacting with us, whether it's in person or online. It feels good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance at a prize. Yeah, people are competitive.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
Yeah, we've had some good prizes.
Yeah, remind the listeners what the prizes are.
Well, we haven't figured out this summer yet, but last summer the grand prize was a tablet, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's always Amazon gift cards. We just did $50 Amazon gift cards for every branch for winter reading. So we're hoping to...
And the grand prize winner for the winter, what did they win?
$100.
$100. Okay.
Amazon gift
card. Very good.
You know, employees cannot partake.
I know. Just... Womp womp.
Yeah. But, you know, we're doing the best we can. I did want to also mention on the website... We also introduced recently, a lot of other libraries are doing the Library of Things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's things you can circulate that are untraditional. So we have an electronic keyboard now. So if you see yourself as the next Elton John, you know, now's a good time to borrow it from us. We have cake pans.
And the cake pans are, many of them are seasonal.
Yeah, there's different shapes for different things.
Yes, we have a bunny one coming up for Easter.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. There is no matzah cake pan for Passover, I'm sad to say, but...
Is there the lamb one that, like, you know, where you can make it and it looks like the lamb... Have you ever seen those cake fails with the lamb cake or whatever? Those are very funny. Yeah. Do you guys know what a cake fail is or no?
No.
Okay. It's where someone, you know, you see, like, suck cake that somebody made online that's looks really great,
And it just
and then you try to make one and it comes out like, you know,
like the head falls off
horrible.
Of the poor lamb.
Yeah.
Why I don't bake right there.
Yeah, that's what Nailed It. Have you ever heard of Nailed It? That's a TV show where the people compete to make something and it always comes out terribly. It's fun. The show is really fun. So that's a Netflix show in case anybody's interested. Yeah.
So that's our online stuff that I wanted to talk about. In our building, we have the Business Project Center, which it's not actually a center. It's just a little space that we have called the center.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our poster maker in there, which I think two summers ago when people at the Sussex County Fair, when vendors caught on that, hey, the library will print you a banner and it's a lot less expensive than.
Sure.
So that became a thing. And people are still coming in for lawn signs. And we do have our steadies that come in. So that's been a very successful thing. There's a die cutter in there. There's a laminator in there.
And they have to make appointments for all this?
They do have to make an appointment because we are not Staples. We actually have real jobs.
Right. Staples. Sorry. Yeah. But
no.
Do you have a cricket machine there too? Or is it just
I think two of the branches have crickets.
I know SW does.
Yeah, Sussex Wantage has one. We do not at Maine.
I was just curious.
Yeah. I think I fell into librarianship at a really good time when Dewey didn't really matter in my world.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to figure out the community part of this job and, you know, building it up to a place that people want to come and visit and just hang out. And, you know, we don't have to be quiet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to be respectful if somebody's, you know, proctoring an exam.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, it's a really good time to be in a library. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, as you said, it's more, I feel like it should be more of a community center now, you know, where people can learn, people can have fun. There's a lot of different things.
And also, we're a safe place. Like, if you've lost your electricity, you can come to the library, get a cup of coffee, and, you know, warm up.
Yeah, agreed. Regarding reference.
Yes.
What do you think is the craziest question you've ever got at the reference desk?
Oh, we get so many. Oh, my God. I really do think we should put a book together, some kind of digital book about...
You should. You should start working on it.
Yeah. Can you think of one? I'm blanking out on the craziest.
I don't really get a lot of reference questions. I had one the other day that isn't crazy, but just sort of... very oddly intensive, but somebody had these blocks that their grandson loved. And she said, I can't find these blocks anywhere, and I don't know what the deal is with them, but this is what they're called. And of course, it was something extremely generic. It was like little blocks or something like that. So I tried to do some research to find out the parent company and where they could buy these things. I wound up with like they're owned by some shipping company in Singapore or something. So like we went back and forth just doing all this crazy research. And finally, I was just like, well, somebody in a review somewhere says they're the same size as Mega Bloks, which is like a known quantity. So I said, maybe you should call Mega Bloks and find out if they are the same size. And that's where I wound up leaving it. But I went for like a half hour looking yeah. into these toy blocks.
Yeah.
That it's just like, this is a weird question. But yeah. where else you get, who else is going to be able to answer this?
Right. We you get know? Those right. all the time. Like, I wonder why they want to know this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just had one this week where this person wanted to know exactly what is a COVID test and which one is most reliable and what's the PCR and what's the difference with an antigen test and an antibody test. And we really had to dig down deep into the CDC and other medical universities sites to find out the answers because, you know, we all just say, well, it's a swab in your nose, but that wasn't the answer this person wanted. Right. They wanted to know the details and why and why not blood and why not this and why not that and why aren't they doing saliva. I think they are doing saliva. You can get an at-home kit now. But we really had to dig deep. And so that's, you know, that's our typical day.
And that's always sort of fun because, I mean, I like to learn still, you know.
Yeah.
So having somebody sort of give you a question that you don't know, you know, it's nice to be able to look that stuff up together.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, not exactly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
To sort of learn something new that you don't know about. You know, I don't know. I'm always interested in learning new things, so that's always sort of fun for me.
Yes, me too.
I had one person call up. It wasn't at this library. It was at a previous job, and she wanted to know what day it was. Oh. That was her question. What day, and what's the time? Yes. But I thought it was a joke. At first, I thought it was a joke, so I said, no, I don't think it's a joke.
You're on candid camera.
So I just gave her the day and the time, and she was happy with that, and she hung up.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So it's like, whoa, okay. And then I had this one gentleman, this is my old job too. We used to man a statewide reference online. I forget what the name of it was. But we would volunteer for like an hour or two once a week. All over the state would do this, libraries. And this man types in a question. He wanted to know where he could find the information to locate a chimpanzee called Kokomo, the monkey. And I
wow.
I said, oh boy, is this another, you know, I thought maybe this was...
getting punked again.
Yeah, so...
Where's Ashton?
He claimed he was at a party in the 70s where this monkey was there and he stole his watch out from some trick he was doing.
Come on! Whoa.
And he was trying to track down where this monkey was.
Monkey, give me back my watch. That is hilarious.
I was like, and I did find at the time, Kokomo, it seemed like, was still living. I did find evidence that he was still living. And I gave him whatever contact information I could, the website or whatever, and I left it at that. But he goes, oh boy, this is great. We're just like Cagney and Lacey. You know, trying to find this monkey. Look at his beady eyes. I even had a picture of Kokomo. Look at his beady eyes. Ah! Oh my gosh, this guy has been trying to track down this
That
poor
is fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
I do love those crazy. Reference questions. I
that
love
that. That's crazy.
I do love that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he ever got his watch back.
I doubt it.
So, Louisa, something that we spoke about off air earlier was Matchbook.
Yes.
So, it was something that I think all three of us sort of came up with independently of each other.
Right.
Which is sort of interesting. But why don't you talk about it since you and your team have been sort of running it here.
So Matchbook is our e-readers advisory. It used to be on site and it still can be on site, but there is a form you can fill out online and it asks all kinds of great questions. But to find it, you go to Access Your Library and then Just For You, and you scroll down, you'll see Matchbook. And it'll ask you questions. What are your favorite TV shows? What do you like about these books? What do you not like? Because not liking is a big part of readership.
Right.
And people fill out the form, and then you can either subscribe and get monthly suggestions or a one-time shot and see how you like it. And it's been extremely successful. People are very, very happy. I just got somebody to fill out the form. She was like, nah, I'm not online. I said, I'll do it with you right now. And we sat down together and answered all the questions. And it really makes you think about what you like to read as you're filling out the form. And then we get to you. I think we do them once a month, twice a month now.
Yeah, well, okay.
And we come up with suggestions, either if you like a type of novel or a type of nonfiction or a type of author, and we matchy-matchy.
Yeah.
And then there's a matchbook.
So you pick the book out for the person?
Yeah.
And then you say it's here, it's ready for you to pick up?
Yeah, and it goes up to circulation, and they put it on hold for them.
Okay.
Or grab and go, whichever they choose.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Obviously, being a reader myself, there are times when I don't know what to read next. You know, and it's nice to have somebody sort of recommend something to you.
Yeah.
It's a nice feature. It's sort of like having a friend say, oh, you know, I read this book. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I think you might like it. So it's nice.
That is a fun one. We are looking forward to, back to the question about what have we been missing? We do miss the outreach we were doing. You know, we used to attend the Chamber of Commerce events every year. We had a big tent and we would give away books and it was a lot of fun. People were always shocked to see us at the library's here. And, you know, it was really fun and we missed that kind of stuff. The outreach we were doing, we had gone to a school or two, show off our databases on the library system. And we won a grant last year, pre-COVID, where we won 2 sewing machines.
Oh, cool.
And we wanted to have all of these sewing workshops because we do have an audience for that at the main library.
So, Louisa, you're originally from Canada.
Correct.
All right.
A.
Oh, Canada. Let's all
our
sing together.
Our home and native land.
Love hockey and beer. That's all you got to know.
Labatt's. The blue.
Labatt's.
The blue. Yeah.
Molson's, eh?
Molson's. We're in the States now, eh?
Yeah. You hoser.
What part of Canada?
I am from Montreal. Oui, oui, oui. Ça va bien.
Nice. Beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
All right, question.
Yes.
Is it Montreal or Montreal?
Montreal.
Okay.
Montreal, like M-U-N. Montreal. And the reason is because there is a big mountain in the middle of the city called Montreal.
Right. That's why I'm curious.
Yes.
Okay.
But no one would ever say Montreal.
Okay.
Unless you're French.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, so I don't know. Talk about some Canadian things.
We have a very cute prime minister.
Oh, Justin.
Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau, yeah. Father, not so much. But, yeah. Well, his mom was very attractive, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
she was hanging with Jagger and all kinds of crazy stuff going on with Pierre.
Fun stuff.
I can't think of any Canadian things. All I can think of right now is I can't cross the border, and I'm very angry about it.
Well, I had someone who had some questions for you.
Okay.
Put your hands on the table. For everyone you get wrong,
we're
going
to
cut off a finger.
All right. I'm ready.
What is
I hate typing, so this will
I want that Tiffany ring, so we're good here.
What is your favorite Canadian dessert?
I don't know if it's Canadian because it's everywhere. It's creme caramel.
Okay. It sounds Canadian.
I don't
Canadian.
Know what that is. What
it's
is
custard
that?
With the crunchy top and you crack it.
Oh,
okay.
What do you call it here?
Oh, sheesh.
Creme brulee.
Creme brulee.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
Delicious.
So
yes, if that's
good.
Done well, that's really
good.
Oh,
yeah. They come to the table with the fire.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
And crepes.
Crepes.
I do have a problem with people here who call it crabs. Because that gets me.
Krebs?
Yeah, I've heard that here.
Oh,
I've never heard
that.
Oh, thank goodness.
Either.
Okay. Maybe it was just that one individual. I'm like, what is that?
The Krebs cycle? That's something I came bubbling up from high school science. I don't even know what that is. The
what
Krebs
is
cycle.
That?
I don't know. Some sort of chemical thing. I don't know.
Do you like poutine?
Ooh, I do.
Yes.
Poutine is delicious.
What is
okay,
not to love there?
Describe poutine.
Poutine is French fried, covered with cheese curds and gravy.
Ooh,
okay.
So then you book your appointment with your cardiologist immediately after.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very delicious.
I had those in Niagara Falls, Canada.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Delicious.
So good.
Yeah. Have you been to Canada, Regina?
Yes, I have.
Where in Canada?
Quebec, Montreal. Is that the right way to say it?
Yep.
Quebec?
Quebec, yeah.
Montreal. And Niagara on the Lake, up there, right near Niagara Falls, right over the border
too.
Yeah, I've been to some of the Maritimes on a cruise. So we went to Halifax, we went to St. John.
Oh, I'd like to go.
And then I've been to Toronto and that area.
Oh, and Toronto too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Niagara.
Not so. Montreal?
Not Montreal. No, I still haven't been to Quebec.
Quebec.
Quebec? Quebec?
Yeah, Quebec City Quebec. Is not Montreal.
Though. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But it's north of it.
Yeah. Because that's another thing that I still want to do is a cruise down the St. Lawrence.
Yes.
That lets you off in Quebec City.
So, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, that looks amazing. So, yeah, my wife and I are still tossing that one around. But, yeah, that's definitely a thing. Because I think I've spoken to you. My wife's family is from French Canada as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think her grandfather lived there for a while.
And she was from in Quebec or where? What
yeah, I
city?
Think, I think Montreal also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think nice. So. But still haven't been, so.
Montrealers are cool. That's all I got to say.
Okay. All right. Montreal bagels versus New York bagels.
Oh.
Now, see, this is poisoning the well.
Oh. There is no comparison. Montreal bagels are thinner and tastier, and they're boiled before they're baked, and they're boiled with honey water, and they have seeds on all sides, not just on one side. I mean, it's perfection.
I don't know. I'm native New Yorker, so I don't know.
We're just going to have to go up there and try them.
Yeah, I agree.
When I finally do cross the border, I will bring some
back. Bring some back.
Oh, thank you.
That way they'll be old and stale. Yes. Right? So get them, and we can say, blech, blech. Jacuse. Yeah.
That is so classic. Montrealers just get so angry at that conversation.
So where do you stand on the independence thing for
Quebec?
For Quebec,
it's never going to happen.
But do you want it?
No.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
No.
All right. Yeah, I was always interested in that because it's sort of like it's a very, I don't know, there's a very specific sort of difference between that culture and sort of the rest of Canada.
Yeah, it's true, but it just couldn't survive on its own as its own country, one province. It's like Mississippi going out on its own because they're different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
I just don't think so.
It's interesting you said province and not province. I don't know. Are you really Canadian?
What?
All right, how about Degrassi? How much do you know about the Degrassi? Oh, no. Past your time.
Mm-mm.
Never mind. Okay. Do you guys not know what Degrassi is?
No.
No, we're both giving Jerry blank stares.
It was a show for kids, like back in the 80s. And then they revamped it later on, like in the early 2000s. And they made a new version of it.
And what was it?
Yeah, I wasn't watching children's programming back in the 80s.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it was
so mature.
It was a bunch of kids that lived in Toronto and went to a school. Mm. And that's what it is. It was like a teenage drama or whatever. It's great.
Okay.
The new one is even better than the original, so I would definitely recommend that.
Can we get it on Midwest Tapes?
I think I've actually looked for it and it's not available. No. So But they do show reruns on Pluto TV, the online TV.
Yeah.
So that has its own channel.
Okay. We're going to have to watch it, Regina.
Yeah. Okay.
You should. We'll have weekly updates for Degrassi. Do you know Drake? You know the musician Drake?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was on
the show.
It?
Yeah, that's where he started. Yep.
Oh, that's where he started.
When
yeah.
Drake had pimples and
Aubrey Graham is his real name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, learning all kinds of things.
Wow.
See that? If you got a reference question about Drake, now you know.
Yes.
Yep. So what other kind of Canadian questions you got there?
That was pretty much it. How about you, Jerry? Anything else? Or what would you like to say about Canada? What do you miss most?
America's hat.
Yeah, what do you miss most?
What would you like to say about...
Oh, that is offensive right there.
What did you say?
America's hat. I think crown would be more appropriate.
I like that.
But
I'll take that, sure.
I miss just being home. You know, your own city and with your family. That's it. I really do miss being home, but... It's been a year and a half now, and I'm hoping at some point I can return. I do have dual citizenship.
I was actually going to ask about that, yeah.
Yeah, I do have passports for both, but they are very strict on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quarantine there is not a suggestion as it
is
here.
Right.
It is mandated by law with a steep fine if you don't obey. And that means, you know, staying in your hotel room for 14 days and getting someone else to walk your dog and all of that. So it's not going to happen for a little bit, but... Yeah, I just miss the food and the family and the friends and all of it.
Well, let's hope it opens up soon.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah,
but
I'd like to.
I just think the timing of this interview following Will Porter with the cat on fire and Jeopardy was no easy act to follow. So I'm a little furious with you both for that. But
well, yes, Luis is referring to our previous episode where right. we interviewed our director, Will Porter. So if you haven't heard that one, it is
fantastic.
And it's okay.
It's fantastic. Well, there you go. Yeah. It's a really good interview. Yeah.
But I'm surprised, though, as a Canadian, you have not apologized once in this entire recording. You have not said, sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. I remember when I went to Canada, I got my first A from somebody at, it's called Bird Kingdom. It's this huge aviary in Niagara Falls in Canada. And the person in there, we went into an enclosure that had lorikeets in it. And one of them jumped on me and she goes, oh, look how he's looking at your watch, eh? And I was like, oh my God, I looked at my wife. We got our first A. It's awesome.
Yeah, my mom literally finishes every sentence with A. You like it, eh? Nice. It's good, eh?
That's good. Yeah.
So, you know, you get very used to it.
I do remember crossing the street in Toronto, too, and the car stopped for me. And I was blown away.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because, you know, coming from New York, you expect to be, you know, thrown in the air 50 feet crossing the street. But I was like, whoa, this is weird.
Yes.
So, yeah, politeness is nice.
Yeah.
All right, so you ready for your lightning round now?
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun.
Okay. If you could only read one book for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Dead Air. How about that?
Okay. Oh, come on. What's your favorite book? You have to have a favorite
book. I don't
book.
Have a favorite book.
What's your top three books?
No. No. No guts. Sorry.
She's kidding, right?
No.
You got to give me an answer. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. There'll be Dead Air for 10 minutes until you...
Yeah. No, I don't have a favorite book.
Green Eggs and Ham.
No. Definitely not that. I read a lot of different authors. Reading about women who write about women because that's what I relate to.
Okay.
None of this horror stuff that you guys are into. I don't like bloody things. And...
We're into. We did one episode about it.
But you dug deep.
Because it was Halloween.
You dug deep, though. You really had a lot of history of reading this really gory stuff. So.
Regina does all of the research. I'm just the, like, in a peanut every so often.
That one I enjoyed researching.
I really do not have a favorite author, okay?
Fine.
Move it along.
Fine.
Do you have a favorite movie?
As a former jewelry historian, I am very visual, so I do relate to movies and film lot more.
Sure.
Okay.
And I will watch things that are suspenseful but not gory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did just watch one, The Vanishings at the Cecil Hotel, about this... it's on Netflix.
Oh, the documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do like a lot of documentaries.
Cool.
And you had mentioned you liked, not Film Warren, what's it called? Whodunits. I kind of like those too because something bad happened and then you have to figure it out with the documentarian.
Sure.
What happened there. So that was a really good one because a girl died and they tried to figure out how she died in the hotel. Mm-hmm. But hundreds of people have died in the hotel
one with
in Los Angeles.
The girl in the water tower? That is that one?
Yeah. Spoiler alert!
Okay.
Carrie.
All right. Well, that's where she is. That doesn't mean, you know. But did you watch the Night Stalker one on Netflix?
No, but I did hear you talk about that, and
yeah,
I'm going to watch
good.
That next.
It's good.
There's no gore and blood.
I wouldn't say there isn't.
Oh.
I mean, it is, you know, the Night Stalker, so there's a decent amount of that in it. So, but I still recommend it. Did you watch The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix?
No.
Watch that.
Okay.
That. There's not a lot of gore.
Writing
that
one down.
Yeah, they did a sequel season, Haunting of Bly Manor, which I didn't like as much. What's your favorite band? Do you listen to music?
You know, my stuff is still so old-timey. Warren
so
Zevon,
oh, all right.
Bob Marley,
that's all good.
And Elvis Costello.
That's good stuff.
And,
it's all good stuff.
You know, I'm still, all of my music comes from that era. So.
Oh, me too.
I mean, a lot of mine does too. So yeah. I love Warren Zevon, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Me too. I just read his biography. If you haven't, it's really
good.
Oh,
I have not.
It's really good.
And you're a Harry Nilsson fan.
Oh, big time! My son was supposed to be named Harry Nilsson, but with the last name Harry Ban, we were worried it was going to be Harry Bum. His nickname in school.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You really thought about this.
Oh, you have to think of every possible bad nickname your child can have. So, he became Jake. But,
gotcha.
Harry Nilsson, big time.
Yeah.
I also think that if you ever do get your musical acumen, you know, under control, and you're able to form a band, it should be Louisa Band. I'm just saying that right now, and you should definitely do that.
Yes.
So speaking of biographies, what would the title of your autobiography be?
Oh, boy. Wow. She made him laugh.
That's it. Regina, what about you? What would yours be?
No comment.
That's the actual title?
That is so Regina.
Under the radar.
Okay, you know what it would be? It would be, I know nothing.
Yes.
I like it.
What about yours, like Jerry? It.
Mine is Tales from a Life Just Barely Worth Living.
And they're all very, very dead on for each of us, I think.
Oh, thanks. All right, so if you could have any animal as a pet, what would it be?
My current puppy.
Oh, that's cute.
Blaze, he's a shih tzu, and he doesn't know he's supposed to bark and be a dog yet. He shares his pillow with me, and he thinks he's human. It's a little sad, but...
It's cute, though.
It's cute. Yeah.
All right, so you have to face off against one classic cartoon character in a number of physical and mental challenges. Who do you choose of this group? Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, Captain Caveman, Wilma Flintstone, or Tweety Bird?
Oh, wow.
I just want to let you know, I've never heard of Captain Caveman.
You've never heard of Captain Caveman?
No. No, Huckleberry Hound.
What?
It's
Who's
gone,
that?
Oh, it's the Old West. It's not a Canadian thing.
No. Who was Huckleberry Hound?
Huckleberry Hound? Oh, yeah. He's classic.
I did love Wilma Flintstone. I think she was modeled after Jackie Gleason's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The whole show was awesome.
And I do love that she was always outsmarting the husband.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's the problem, though, because it's a mental challenge as well, so you have to beat her.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, Wilma.
All right, you're going to go with Wilma. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Wilma. Cool. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Well, that was all the, like, weird questions I had for
you. Oh, God. That was not so fun.
Well, was that that hard? I don't think so.
We had a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. So, any parting words that you want to give the library public here?
I don't know. Come in and see us, and we are still ordering tons of books. So we got a new platform for magazines called
Press Reader,
which has 7,000 titles, which is really great. There's daily newspapers there.
Yeah, that's also really nice, having the newspapers available.
I love that.
Yeah.
Borrow our things from the library. Come and use our project center. Come and listen to our authors that we have booked for
check
you.
Check out all the programs online.
Yeah. Sign up to Matchbook. Oh, another program that I never talked about, and it was one of the first things I did when I came to Sussex County. We started a SCARC program, and that is our special needs adults. Mm-hmm. I used to watch them, you know, van loads come into the library and sit there, and it started crushing my soul. I was like, this has just got to end. And I reached out to their director and I said, can we start doing programming with them? And they said, of course. So we would do it twice a month. We would have, I don't know, some 30 people at each sitting. And we would do exactly what the adults and the children wanted to do, which was we did a craft with a theme. We read some books.
Yeah, that's fun.
And it was so much fun. And now we just switched it over to Zoom. And we're doing, we're partnering with Lee Wilkinson in Children's. And he's a reader for us too. And it's just so much fun. There's 61 cameras on. So we're really getting our outreach here. Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun. The roar of the crowd after is just so hilarious. Love it.
Great.
And that's it.
Cool. So I think that's going to do it for this episode, right?
I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Email us at librarylines@sussexcountylibrary.org for
Regina Bone
and Jerry Galante and
Lisa Ban.
We'll see you guys next time.